Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the after show. This is the after show with Mike and Kelly. I am Kelly. With me, as always, is Mike Rose. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Kelly. How's it going?
Not too bad. How about you?
I am fighting. I'm on like week 8 of this 2-week cold. I got sick like right at the end of March, last weekend of March. The whole family got sick. And then I went to Boston and I was miserable. I came back. I said to my doctor, I think I have the flu. He says, no, you don't. You just have a cold. It's like, all right. So I got better. But I couldn't kick the cough. Mm-hmm. And then this past Sunday, it just hit me again, like a second round. It was awful. So unpleasant. And I thought at first it was allergies, it was the pollen and cleaning the house and everything. And no, it was definitely being sick again. So kind of freaking miserable. But at least it's, I think, officially spring here on the East Coast. Folks in the Midwest and Chicago got snow, got horrible tornadoes and awful.
Yes. This is always the time of year that's where the weather is sort of unsettled anyway, so it's usually not a big deal. But there's a difference between it's a little, like, it was really nice today and it was kind of crappy the day before that, and it was 73 today and tomorrow it's going to snow.
Oh, boy.
Which actually happened. Who was that? Was it? I mean, I know, but I think it was like somewhere in Colorado was like... Yeah. 24 hours ago. I mean, they get that more off. They get that all year round. That's not spring for them. That's just the norm.
That's just how things go in April.
Yeah. But usually it's, you know, it swings back and forth, and so far here it's mostly just been rain for April as of yesterday, which was April 15th, the middle of the month where I live here in Portland. We have gotten already at day 15. The average for the month of April in measurements of rain. Yes. Yeah.
Well,
so we've been under flood watch or fixing to be under flood watch. One of the two.
Or mud. Fixing to be under flood watch. Let me make a note of that.
Mm. Yes. Basically, because they were like, yeah, it's going to rain pretty hard, you know, the next day or two or the next week or two. And... a lot of that has been, so I don't, there's a one where they basically know that Johnson Creek, for example, is going to overflow. Yep. And then there's like, we're not like the touch and go stage where it could overflow, but maybe not. It sort of depends on how hard it rains for the next 8 to 12 hours. And we've been in both of those stages for about a week now. So... Yeah, it's much worse south of me. It was far, far soggier south of here on the I-5 corridor. But most of that seems to have gotten a little bit better, and we're supposed to have some nicer weather soon. So,
well, it's been,
by soon,
it's
I mean like 2 days from now. It's supposed to be like 72 and sunny if we can just make it there.
Just make it to the weekend. It's when, of course, the central part of the country has suffered some horrible flooding.
Yes.
So. It just, I guess we should count ourselves lucky when the weather is not actively trying to kill us.
Yeah.
As it so often is. But we have holidays coming up. So I'm really trying to get healthy in time for Friday. So Friday, of course, is Passover, my tradition. It's Good Friday as well. Mm-hmm. Heading into Easter weekend. This is Holy Week. And of course, we also have Thursday, otherwise known as Unindicted Co-Conspirators Day. so that's going to be exciting this year. It takes a certain amount of, as my people would call it, chutzpah, to release a 400-page, redacted, incomplete version of a 400-page report about the malfeasance, purported and possible malfeasance of our executive branch. The day before Good Friday. It's like, you know, what kind of resurrection are we really looking for here?
Well, apparently it's pigs, because what this is known as among my people is Ham Day.
Is it Ham Day?
It's Ham Day on Sunday. See, I'm not into ham.
You're not into ham?
Bacon all day long, but I, no. Ham,
you
no.
You lack the hankering for ham?
Yes, I do not hanker for a hunk of ham. And so
it's not obligatory, but it
yeah. Know. So this coming Sunday, I'm kind of not excited because, well, okay, I will say this in in defense of Easter, I guess.
like it needs it.
Yeah, but my mom decided last week sometime that she hadn't gotten me Easter candy in a long time and sent me a
She decided this?
Easter candy.
She observed that this was true?
She noted that it's been a long time since Easter candy and sent me a See's candy assortment, and it came last week, and it made me very happy.
That's delightful.
Yes.
We have to provide our own candy.
Yeah, that's the closest I came. Like, yeah, I also am basically just waiting for Easter Monday when I get to go to Walgreens and buy all the Cadbury cream eggs half off.
That's right. That is a different holiday.
Yes.
Of all our peoples is to be able to do that.
Yes. Half off Easter candy.
Half off Easter candy is
a holiday we can all agree on.
who doesn't like that, honestly?
Right?
You know, it's interesting because the Passover holiday includes a lot of very specific foods and also dietary restrictions. Mm-hmm. You don't eat leavened anything other than matzah, anything leavened, so nothing with yeast. Mm-hmm. Traditionally avoid the five forbidden grains. So it's always interesting to have people say, as my stepmother did, so Sunday we're going to go for Italian food. I'm like, okay, so that presents some challenges. we're not going to have anything pasta or breaded, and we'll have to work around it. But I am looking forward to it this year. We're going to have a lot of family in, assuming everybody is healthy and willing. We have both sets of my parents and my brothers coming, and it's going to be festive. But we have a lot of prepping and getting ready and organizing and cleaning and being sort of down for the count over the past couple of days has not helped my my pace, my adaptation.
I can imagine. This. Yes.
But so the way we do it at our house is this is since we moved 3 years ago, this has been our tradition, is we start the Seder the first hour or so, hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half, is all storytelling and the ritual, the pre-meal ritual, and a little bit of snacking in there. So we do that in our basement.
Mm-hmm.
And we fit 30 people in there, sort of crammed in on cushions and camp chairs.
Dang.
We do it in the basement. And there's sort of a symbolic emerging from the narrow place, from the oppressive low ceilings into the dining room. And so in order for this to happen, prerequisite is that I have to clean the basement or help tidy the basement and get it organized.
Sure.
That creates some challenges because the basement is where I put my junk, like all my junk. It's my stuff. It's where I put my stuff. And so it so happened that last weekend, is this true? Yes, last weekend, there was a New York City e-waste recycling event in Brooklyn.
Cool.
About 8 to 10 blocks from my house. And I enlisted elder daughter, Lulu. and rather than driving over there, which would have meant like a half an hour to an hour wait in the vehicle line, we walked over with a hand truck and a grocery cart full of 2 Dell PCs and a whole bunch of hard drives and a bunch of like junk routers and cable modem and old, like, broken keyboards and, mm-hmm. Just like two big carts full of junk, including an inbox Odyssey video game system, which I now regret not gifting to somebody instead of recycling it. But
I saw the box on your Instagram feed, and I was like, how are you just giving that away? It's still in a box.
It was still in a box, but I don't have anything like with an RCA input to plug it into or an RF input to plug it into. I felt a little bad about it afterward, but it's also like, I'm not going to do that. But in all the digging and the cleaning and the extracting, I pulled out something which is now happily making noise beside my desk, which is a Netgear ReadyNAS 4-drive network attached storage device that had not been turned on since 2013, give or take.
Oh my.
Still worked. Came right up, and I went and looked, and they're like, yeah, the software for this we stopped making in 2015, but you can unofficially upgrade it to the current version, which is what they because it's the same architecture as what they sell today. So you can you know, essentially jailbreak it and run the current version. So now it's running the current version, where you can put Docker images on it and do all sorts of, you know, like run web servers or surveys or anything. So it's like, great, now I have this this 4 terabyte backup device that I didn't have before, mm-hmm. or had, but had not found a use for, and now I have uses for it. Conveniently, the same week that my Drobo started spitting up blood,
it's like, oh no! Oh.
Yes. Remember our shucking conversation? The whole yes. shucking conversation?
Yes.
Those 8 gig drives that come out of those Seagates, the Drobo doesn't like them very much. Does not like them, does not want to deal with them.
Oh no.
Refused to work with them. So I actually had to revert basically back to the same disk pack I'd been using before and work my way back.
Oh.
Fortunately, I had everything. I backed up everything because I was planning to reset the Drobo for larger volume sizes. But mm-hmm. like, I didn't need to do that. I didn't need that aggravation. I mean, I needed to do it because it was starting to freak out and have other issues. So it was time to reset it. But putting in, like, chucking those drives, and now I have 2 bare 8 gig drives, and I've destroyed the cases. And let that be a lesson to me. Buy the NAS drive. Spend the extra $40 on the NAS drive because, everybody will be happier. So it's back to normal now. It's walking and talking. It's got data on it, and it's going to be backing stuff up. But now it has a friend. It has a little network-attached friend sitting on the table next to it, which is going to go do some backing up someplace good. So, yeah. So not being very productive and getting, you know, actual things that I need to get done, but I have I resurrected something that was 6 years sitting on a shelf for 6 years. I felt pretty good about myself. What's going on in your brain right now?
About like network drives and, you know, attached storage and stuff. And late last year, I don't know if we've really talked about it, but I basically sent my computer in for a brain transplant.
Wow.
Because gutsy. I took it in. I did first of all, I did everything I knew how to do. And then I reached out to my Mac admin friends and went, mm-hmm. what did I miss? And they were all, at like 3 different people went, you did more stuff than I would have done before I took it to the Genius Bar. And I'm like, okay, so off we go to the Genius Bar. And they're like, yeah, so about your hard drive. And I'm like, oh. And they're like, yeah. So it was like $450 or $475, something like that, $450, $475. Mm-hmm. And they call it a top case replacement.
Oh, yeah.
Which means like basically everything but the screen, mm-hmm. when you get it back, will be new. And mm-hmm. then the guy's looking at my computer and he goes, well, what's on the, like, what's going on with the screen here? And I said, oh, I think that's where, like, the keys rubbed on it. And it's, like, just always kind of been that way. Nobody ever really. So he looked up my serial number anyway and said, yeah, you have one of those delaminating screens. So I also got a new monitor out of it, too.
Whoa.
So $500 later, I got a brand new computer. And you know what my computer has? Ports. You know what my computer has? A keyboard that I only mostly hate typing on as opposed to completely hate. I spent like 8 seconds on one of those butterfly keyboards and noped out hard, and I just went, I'm gonna wait like however long I have to cling to the computer that I have. That's what I'm gonna do. And now I have all brand new keys, which is kind of great because my other ones, so I have fingernails, like, I mean, past my fingers, like, you know, like I can tap.
As you
if
do.
If I tap them on the counter, you can hear them tap against the counter, that sort of thing. I don't mean like I have fingernails. That's not news. So, but apparently I will absentmindedly like rub my fingertips up and down on the keys as I'm thinking while I type. And so, yeah, I've rubbed through about half a dozen of them at that point. I remember at one point, Brett Terpstra, in posting one of his like best of lists or something, was posting something about that and was like, if you are a person who has worn who has way more backlight through your keys because you've worn through them in spots or whatever. And I was like, oh, hey, that's me.
Hey.
And also, hi, Brett. So I got like the whole thing replaced, and one of the things that I was particularly proud of when I got it back is that when I got it back, I was able to like restore everything that was on the drive that I had. I had made a complete backup, so I had I didn't lose any data in that respect, but it came back as a quote new computer.
Yeah.
So Time Machine and all of that was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't. So I was able to inherit the backups, the previous backup state, and like convince the Time Machine volume and my computer that they had all just backed up recently. And they call it like inheriting the state. And I got all of that done. And I had to do it with Backblaze too. And I was just sort of sitting here as you were telling that story, thinking about how. I did manage to do that, and I feel, and I was actually pretty proud of myself at the time to be able to make that happen.
As you should be.
It's not an easy thing to do, and it involves a bunch of time in terminal, and I was kind of proud of myself. So I was like, wow, yeah, backing up. And I was just thinking about how I have to do a new full backup, because at some point here in the near future, they're going to announce 10.15, so I probably ought to get around to upgrading to 10.14.
Yeah, but you might should do that. Well, you know, My iMac is stuck. I've hit the limit.
Oh,
It's on High Sierra. It's on 10.13.6, and will not Mojave. It cannot Mojave, which is unfortunate because it's the last model that supports Target Display Mode, which I use all the time.
Yes,
and I really can't justify upgrading it. And getting a new monitor, like, I basically would upgrade it to a mini and a monitor and a KVM, which is going to be a giant pain in the neck. Or I actually would just take my older laptop and use that. I have a hinge dock for it. Use that as the desktop. So I would just need the monitor and then the KVM, and then I would just switch back and forth if I'm using my laptop. But it's all annoying. I don't want to have to do it. I will say that my work laptop is one of the 13-inch MacBook Pros with the cursed keyboard, and you know, knock on counter, I haven't yet run into a problem, and I'm hoping I won't, but I know everybody else, I know there's a tremendous amount of pent-up rage about those keyboards.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to tempt fate by saying I haven't had a problem when I haven't had a problem.
To be fair, and I will be the first person in line to out myself on this, I have strong opinions about keyboards.
Yes.
So I have never liked an iteration. There is no iteration of the Chiclet that I haven't complained about. Let's put it that way. I don't like that there's no actual throw. I don't like that... it makes my fingers feel tired because I always feel like I'm beating the heck out of my computer just to type something. And the way that I get around that is I use an external keyboard, and my external keyboard makes me really happy. And why does my external keyboard make me really happy? Because it's a keyboard from Matthias. And when there's other people in the office with me, I use the one that has the quiet switches, which is only mildly clacky. And the rest of the time I use the one with the full-on Cherry MX switches, which is the loudest keyboard on the planet, and it makes me so happy. It is the sound of productivity. It's so good. So good.
The sound of productivity, brought to you by Maytag. Maytag, the most reliable washers.
Where is my keyboard?
Where is your keyboard?
Well, normally there's one off to my right, and I don't know what I did with my other Matthias keyboard. All I've got over there is my old Blueberry iMac keyboard, which is plugged into a mini that lives on the table next to my desk. Yeah. I cleaned up a bunch of stuff recently, and I think I set my super loud keyboard somewhere else. Otherwise, I would just pick it up and mash some keys and illustrate exactly how loud it is, because it's super loud. That makes me really happy.
Clack, 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 clack.
Yeah. The quiet one is still a very, very solid keyboard, and it still makes me very, very happy to type on because it's got enough. And part of the reason that I like it is because, and I don't know if anybody knows this, but if you take a good look at your hands, your fingers are all different lengths, generally. Well,
have you ever looked at your hands? I mean, really looked at your hands. We're only a few days away from April 20th, so, you know, we might as well start the jokes now.
Well, it's legal here, so, you know.
Yes. By the way.
Finish
the finger lengths, well, then we'll come back to this.
It makes, my point was going to be that it makes typing much more comfortable when you have a little bit more distance, and it doesn't always feel like your index finger and your middle finger are, like, pounding out everything, you know, as compared to your fourth, your ring fingers and your pinky fingers. So that's part of why I really like using this keyboard. It just feels really good. And if you have the opportunity to use a mechanical keyboard, because I know mechanical keyboards in general are all the rage these days with the young people, their vinyl records and their mechanical keyboards.
and their fixed gear ratio
and
bicycles.
The fixie bike. Oh God, the
and
fixie
their
bike.
And their mustache wax. And
Yeah, see, the problem is, like, you have some of that, but we've weaponized it here.
Weaponized mustache,
like,
wax.
Weaponized mustache wax, yes. That's Portland's current claim to fame. So, anyway, yes, I said it was legal here. Talk to me about that.
No, so, it's not yet legal in New York or New Jersey, but both states are working to...
We know that's just a question of time.
It's a matter of time. But yes. So at the local public radio station, WNYC, 93.9 on your FM dial, has a midday host, news and talk host named Brian Lehrer, who lives in Brooklyn. He used to live in Brooklyn. Now he lives in Inwood, I think. Anyway, not relevant. I was listening. Tangent, Mike. Tune in. Anyway, you ever really look at your hands? No.
I mean, really.
I was listening to the radio on Monday morning, possibly Monday morning, possibly Sunday morning. I was in the shower listening to the radio on my handy-dandy Google Home. And they put on a promo. Brian Lehrer comes on and says, hey. So, he doesn't say hey. He said, you know, marijuana legalization is high on the agenda for both New Jersey and New York's governors, and it's something that's probably going to happen. And so we're going to do a live call-in show, panel discussion with states that have already made it legal.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to call, the state, we're going to do this panel discussion. So join us noon to 3 on 420. And he said it like that. He said it with enough of a pause that you're like, Brian, really? Brian? So they are doing that panel discussion on Saturday, which is hilarious.
So what you did there, I see.
So to speak. I really enjoyed that. But yes, it is going to... So I don't know if this is true in Portland. In New York, like every... As the decriminalization of weed has progressed over the last few years, like... Every street corner smells like weed. Every car to go, like car sharing car, smells like weed. I was like, you know what? Great, but why in the car? Like, other people have to use this car.
And this is a good question. Yeah.
It's very skunky. I don't know. Is it like that in Portland?
Oh, I was in line at Walgreens yesterday behind someone who smelled so strongly of marijuana. I was convinced I wasn't going to be fit to drive back from Walgreens just from standing behind her in line.
You were there for your discount Easter candy, and you're like, I don't need a contact
high. Yeah, it's not quite Easter. Yeah, it's not quite yet. So I was just checking, you know. Supply levels are important when it comes to Easter candy. And I'm behind this woman, and I'm like, wow. And then... I was surprised by the aroma. You don't always walk up behind somebody and have them smell that strongly of weed. And then I was also surprised because what she was buying was like regular stuff and not the entire snack section. And so I was like a little bit surprised, and then like actually did end up having to stand behind her for long enough. I was like, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to drive back. But the other thing I can tell you, eau de
cologne. I mean, it's
you know, it's entirely possible, because if anybody was going to do that, it would be us with our weaponized mustache wax and our weed cologne.
But on the way home, what you were going to say?
No, not on the way home. Just like in general, Portland has been pretty chill about it. Like the only real... But there's not all that big a difference, because we had medical for so long and dispensaries in a lot of places. Like, we have more dispensaries now. There is a stretch of a particular street in my part of town which is referred to as the Green Mile. And, there's been a little bit of
potentially
cleverness
problematic.
Like that. Yeah. There's been a little bit of cleverness like that, but by and large, like, at least in Portland, it's really not that different. So, you know, I think, like, that's one of the things that I think a lot of people have noticed, like, you know, we're talking about Colorado earlier, like, having friends in Colorado, they're kind of like, yeah, you know, it's really not that different than things were before, you know, for the most part. I think, you know, overall, maybe the edible portion of the program has gotten a little nicer because people with more money have gotten into it because it's more lucrative now that anybody can have them. So, I don't know, maybe...
You know, the market, the addressable market is bigger.
Yeah. So, but, you know, maybe it's worth spending a little extra money to get the good gummy bears. I don't know. But...
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, just, materially, at least in Portland, it hasn't made a massive difference. So, that's been...
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens in New York. I mean, New York always manages to make things weird, one way or another.
You said to the girl from Portland, yeah.
I know we're grading on a bit of a curve here.
Slightly.
But I'm just saying, New York does often manage to make it weird.
That's true.
It's going to be kind of astonishing. I mean, the thing that is, there was actually a graphic yesterday that was making the rounds of, like, by county and state by state, the places where the largest percentage of arrests were for marijuana possession.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting. I mean, it's like they're, you know, basically California is not any.
Yes.
And other states that essentially do not have decriminalized or legalized.
They sort of led the way on that, where they just kind of decided, even before it was recreationally legal, they were like, yeah, you know, if it's just a little pot, it's just a little pot. And yeah, we've got bigger things to worry about. And they were the ones who started that. And I really thought that would kick off a larger conversation than it did, which is why I was very interested to hear that New York and New Jersey are next, because it sort of sounds like they're trying to kind of team up and do it together. And at some point, there's going to have to be a higher level conversation. For example, Oregon and Washington, it is recreationally legal in both places. And, you know, there's things like, if you grow it in Oregon and you have a business in Washington, you're kind of not supposed to take it there because technically it's a federal crime.
Yeah, if you cross state
to lines, holler across the state line. And mm-hmm. There are a lot of banks that won't do business with... Right. Marijuana shops, because federally,
the feds,
still
the
not
feds,
cool.
Feds might come down on you.
Yeah.
It's true.
So there's a whole lot of, like, fallout from this that, which to me is really entertaining, mostly because, like, I said way before we ever had legal marijuana here, they should absolutely make it legal and they should tax the snot out of it, because, like, A, anybody who has a weed guy, like, that situation's not changing, right? But you get all these extra people, and, like, nobody gets really stoned and goes, let's knock over a liquor store. Like, they get really stoned and go, let's go buy all the Funyuns at 7-Eleven. Like, it's just good for the economy twice. So
it does increase the circulation of certain marketable items.
So I never really understood the issue. And, you know, maybe it's, you know, I don't know, maybe it was just growing up in the wilderness where sometimes you didn't have anything else to do. I don't know. But,
well, I mean, I think there's a couple different things. One is the question of, like, there's a lot of people incarcerated and who have been released and are still marked with a felony conviction.
Yes.
For things that, you know, presumptively are going to become not illegal. So how do you figure out a way to bring mm-hmm. justice in that scenario? And, you know, again, looking at it clear-eyed and realizing this has been an incredibly disproportionate burden on communities of color in the U.S., and particularly in areas like New York and Philadelphia. And
yeah.
And the graphic, or the county by county data that I was looking at was interesting, because one of the counties where they had a really high percentage of arrests being due to marijuana possession was Hamilton County, which is in Adirondack Park, and very low population. I think it was something like 260 total arrests over the course of a year. Now, I know people get arrested in Hamilton County for doing stupid things. like stupid things, like fireworks and, you know, setting their cars ablaze with you know, moonshine, just dumb stuff in the mountains. But it was astonishing that so many of these arrests were marijuana possession. And you have to wonder, like, were people growing on federal, on public land or in the park or, you know, what? You don't know. But it was weird. And I know that there are towns in California that have that sort of lawless, you know, grow town reputation and and have a bit of the wild frontier about them. I'm now possibly going to tune in for that broadcast, I guess is what I'm saying to myself. I'm going to not yet a sponsor WNYC. we're going to have a chance. I'm going to get a chance to hear what they're saying. I feel like, you know, so we went to kind of an odd week on, week off schedule inadvertently.
Yes.
Because I didn't get the show out on time. But we're still on our cadence. We're recording. It's a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
But the question is, do we have any new shout outs that we need to share? I don't know. I think somebody might have gone to see a Blazers game.
Sadly, no.
That is tragic.
I know, and the problem is that effect. Our senior playoff correspondent is just our senior play correspondent now, which is why he's not in town for the playoffs this time around, which is very sad to me. Hi, Kelly, because he totally has time to listen to us right now. But I have really been enjoying the billion stuff, which that's always super great, but. You know, now that we're like close personal friends, because we totally hung out like in public where people could see. I ended up taking a picture for somebody who like sat very, very patiently until the fourth quarter when we were at that ball game last year, and sat very, very patiently and said, and finally went, Are you on Billions? And then, like, I ended up taking a picture for them, which was pretty great. Nice. I was like, yeah. He was, like, embarrassed. I'm like, don't be embarrassed. That's awesome. Like, yeah, you're not at the point where this is like, no, this is cool. Like,
well, and yeah. he also has recorded again this year some playoff promos for the Trailblazers. So I don't know where we can find those, but we'll try to, if we can track them down, we'll put them in the show notes. Absolutely. We also want to shout out to Info Driveway. Hi, Phone Boy. Hi, Chris Fuller. Hi, Dave McGee.
Oh, you know what I don't think we talked about before?
What have we not talked
about? Hi, Dave McGee. I got to karaoke with one Chris Fuller.
I could have sworn we talked about that, but maybe we didn't.
I don't remember if we talked about it.
Maybe we didn't.
That was why I was maybe you and I talked about it, but I don't think we were recording at the time. Because I said that now I was even more excited for Kelly to come out and do playoff stuff in Portland for the Blazers, because then he and I could do karaoke, which just meant it was a question of time before you were next. I would get to do karaoke.
That's true. That is the normal sequence of things. Like, he shows up, and then like 15 minutes later, I show up.
Yeah. So I'm like, I was like, yeah, this is totally just a thing that needs to be happening. So,
well, I'm so glad that you did manage to make that work.
It was so funny because he was like, "Hey, do you know where?" He was like, "I'll be in Portland for training or something. Do you know where we could have karaoke?" And I was like, "Do I know?" That's so cute. And then so was like, of course, Voice Box Karaoke, not yet a sponsor. Hi, Voice Box. You know, I told him, like, this is where, and you run everything with your phone, and like whenever I send those ridiculous pictures of karaoke, that's always where we are. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you should check it out. And so he said, like, later, at the time said it was a great time, but there were many beers. And so later even he admitted that it also still, even later, he had also admitted that it was a very enjoyable evening. So I was glad that we got to have a good time and we got to hang out. So
that's magnificent.
It was super great.
We are, as an audience, we are glad that that actually managed to happen. individually, I am disappointed I wasn't actually there for it.
Me too.
You can't win them all.
I know.
Any but recommendations? We'll work on it. Any recommendations this week? I know it's Game of Thrones.
We didn't finish with the shout outs. We got to Dave McGee.
Oh,
we got
Dave McGee.
Yes. Yep. Hi, Brittany.
Yep.
Hi, Mike Doty. Like he's ever listening. I've been on a soul coughing kick lately, which is sort of why, like, and that wasn't what started it. Just the other day I had Shuffle All on my phone, and one of the songs from the reimagined soul coughing record came up, and I was listening to it, and I was like, yeah, I should just be listening to this record all the time. And so for maybe a week now, I've been on just sort of a soul coughing kick, and it's super fun. So hi, Mike. Hi, Javi, if Javi is listening. Again, I doubt these are people who actually are listening, but if you are, hello. Mike, your neighbor whose name always escapes me.
Lenny.
Hi, Lenny.
Hi, Lenny. How's it going?
Yes. Hi, see, Deirdre, now you can just lean out the door and be like, hi, Lenny, how's it going? And I can't. So, yes. Hi, Lenny.
We wish Lenny were coming to Seder. Lenny and Mika are not making it to Seder this year, but they know the door is always open. They did make it by last year, actually, for the tail end, which was great. But we're so full this year. Oh, my God. It's crazy.
Oh, hi, Diane. That was who we were missing last time.
Hey, Diane.
I think so. Hi, Diane. I think that might be everybody, okay. At least so far. And if we missed you, that's on me, because I said I think that's everybody. So just if we miss you, tell us.
At @_aftershow at the Twitters, and we'll let you know. We'll let you know when we are going to give you the shout out you so richly deserve.
Yes. Somebody asked me one time where the shout outs come from, and I'm like, that's just everybody who's publicly admitted to listening to the show.
Yeah, right. We're not being particularly selective. Like,
no, this is basically everyone that I know has listened and enjoyed it. Like, hi.
But do you have any recommendations this week? I know it is that we're back into the game.
Game of Thrones. Well, my first one is just a sort of a bonus recommendation, and that is they have completely redone the opening credits for Game of Thrones.
Ooh.
So watch them very closely. Not because there's necessarily any sort of detail or anything in it that's extra fascinating, but they talked about how, because I read this article about about making the credits, and how they went back to the company that made them in the first place with all the little gears and setup and everything, right? And they talked to those folks. And they said, you know, every year we were like, oh, we'd really like to, oh, if only we could, oh, I just wish we could. And so when they were like, yeah, you know, it's the home stretch, we'd really like to do something new. I think one of the people that was part of it in the article said something like 7 years of ideas came pouring out. And so you like pay attention very closely to what you see in each of the pieces, because it's all new. They've redone a bunch of it. There's better CGI now than there was like 9 or 10 years ago when they did these in the first place, and it's super neat. And obviously we haven't seen all of them, because they did sort of mention that when there are other locations, those locations come up, they will, you know, the opening will still change. But if you haven't seen the opening yet of the first one, watch it very closely, because you'll see a bunch of different stuff and how different everything looks, and the level of detail is just worlds more than it was the first time round. So like right from the get-go, it was very, very exciting to watch. So that to me was really interesting. Aside from the episode, I really enjoyed it. I can't wait to find out how everything is going to jump off. I have so many questions. Like, to the point that I think I'm having a Game of Thrones conversation in like 3 different iMessage threads right now. And so I need to figure out how I can condense like all of the Game of Thrones theory mongers into like one place, so that's just much more convenient. I'm working on it. We'll see what happens. But some of that is pretty interesting to me. But it's also going to be weird, because it's very much end of an era. Mm-hmm. Because this is one of the few, I think, shows that A, is released weekly, as opposed to just here's your whole season, and that everybody still talks about.
Yes. Like, well, I was going to say Billions is released weekly. Yes. Star Trek Discovery released. Like, there's a bunch of shows that are still cable shows that are released serially.
Yes.
Or, of course, network shows are typically that way.
Well, yeah.
There are more and more streaming shows that are batch.
Yes.
Batch shipped. Yeah. But yes, it is rare to have event like must-see TV.
And why nowadays is it must-see? Because everybody's going to talk about it Monday at work anyway, so you better watch it Sunday night or you'll get spoiled.
Yeah. See, as someone who has read the books but has never watched the show,
oh,
I feel like now is probably the time for me to start working my way back. It's interesting because one of the reasons I have not binged the show, or two reasons that are sort of connected to one another, is that my best television watching time is my commute. But my commute is underground. So if I can't download and cache the episode on my iPad, I'm probably not going to manage to watch it.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. The other thing is, it's Game of Thrones. And if you're watching it on the New York City subway, you are sending a message that perhaps you do not wish to send to your fellow passengers. So that's not
stay
happening.
Stay away, because Mike thinks you're crunchy and taste good with ketchup.
Oh, way throwback. Oh my God. Do not meddle in the affairs of wizards, for you are crunchy and good with ketchup. Oh my gosh.
I thought it was dragons.
Well, yes. So it's do not meddle in the affairs of wizards, for they are subtle and quick to anger.
Subtle and quick to anger, yes. And then
do not meddle in the affairs of dragons, for you are crunchy and good
taste
ketchup.
Of ketchup. Yes.
And they sometimes they'll mix those.
Yes.
They'll do a mashup.
Yes.
A crossover.
So I think so. Here's this isn't giving anything away, but what you need to know is that the mechanics of things like logistics, you know, George R. R. Martin isn't done with the books, and they kind of needed to keep making TV, and so
the Paul and Storm song about the write and write faster, George R. R. Martin.
Yes. Yes, I know that one. Well, so this has to be one of those things, like, if you're going to do both, and it doesn't matter which order it's in, it has to be a thing where you can do like people had to do with Harry Potter. Like, they have some of the same characters and a lot of the same stuff happens, but they're very different units of entertainments.
Yes.
And you sort of have to be good with that and, like, let the books be the books and let the movies, let the films be the films, or the TV show be the TV show, whatever it is. And if you can do that, then cool. But if you've read all the books and that's where you're going to get hung up and not be able to kick back and enjoy the TV for TV's sake, then I would say maybe now is not the time to do that. Even when it's over, I don't know if I would recommend that to you, because it just may not be any fun.
Well, you know, it's been several years.
That, so
it's been several years since I've read the book, so I'm not hung up on it for that reason. I just, like, it's a huge investment of time.
It really is.
And it's inconvenient. And if HBO would just let me download and cache the episodes on my iPad, it would be so much more convenient. Like, it's very consumer hostile. You know who does do that, by the way? Who does allow you to do that? Showtime. So that's when I catch up on my billions, is on the subway.
Very nice.
See, there you go. That I will say, is a consumer-friendly approach.
It is.
To your streaming. It's very consumer-friendly. You know what's not consumer-friendly? HBO Go. Not friendly.
That's true.
It's not friendly. I probably, like, if I did HBO Now or something, like, maybe there's... Who knows?
Possibly? I don't know.
I suspect their contracts with their content producers are...
Yeah, I would guess older, that they don't... Yeah.
Crotchety contracts.
I would guess they don't have that kind of option. What I will tell you... well, I have, like, a bunch of recommendations, only because, like, it's been a good week to be Kelly.
Yeah.
We got a new Star Wars trailer.
Woohoo!
Oh, it's so
did you
good.
See? Did you see? Speaking of mashups, did you see the Immigrant Song?
Oh yes,
underneath it was great.
Oh, you
that
know
was
I did.
Really
it was
impressive.
So good. I also love that the first half is Rey, and I also love that she's running to face off against a TIE interceptor. I loved it so much. I watched it many times. There's actually in true incomparable network fashion, we did like a 90-minute show about a 2-minute trailer. And I got to be part of it. It was really exciting.
God love you. God love you, you crazy freaks.
And I could do another hour and a half just explaining all the parts of it that were amazing to me. And probably, spoiler alert, at least half of that would just be how awesome is it to watch Rey run and like race this TIE Interceptor. It looks so cool. It is entirely possible that my desktop wallpaper is a still frame from the trailer where she is upside down and staring down whoever's in that interceptor. It looks terribly exciting. The only thing that makes me sad about it is I have yet to find a way to make it my iPhone lock screen in an effective manner because my phone is tall and skinny and this shot is long and wide, which is kind of a bummer. but there was that. There was new Game of Thrones. I have many questions now with Game of Thrones, and because there's like some stuff that happened and some different things that I really want to know about, and I am very curious now where some of those things are going to go. There is one thing that I won't talk about yet, but maybe once we get a little further down the season. There was actually a really, really funny Easter egg in the premiere of season 8 that was hilarious. Like it was very, very small, but if you picked it up, it was pretty entertaining. So I've been like kind of chuckling on and off about that for since Sunday night when I saw it and went, wait, is that? And then went and looked and, you know, sure enough, yes, that's exactly what it was. Okay. So yeah, it was pretty funny. So more Game of Thrones. It's been a bad time to be Kelly because we found out that it's going to be a minimum of next year before we get any more Westworld, which makes me very sad and Dawn very sad. But it'll be okay because we still need to do our 1 and 2 rewatch. We will get those done. And that'll give us something to do after Game of Thrones is over. And yeah, so I think like as recommendations go, what I would recommend is micro.blog. And part of that is because at least once a week now, we get another story about how Facebook is messing with you and how Facebook is doing stuff with your data that they shouldn't be. Or
came out today. One NBC News report came out today, actually, as
yeah.
well.
I'm not surprised. There's always some sort of thing about how Facebook is not acting in good faith, whether it's with other companies they partner with, whether it's against their users, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. There just keeps being these stories. And here's the thing that I will tell you about micro.blog. You can have whatever updates you want, so you can follow people or, you know, not follow people if you want to. Some people use it for longer form stuff. Some people are sticking to the sort of microblogging sort of really brief updates. And once you get to a certain point, if you're writing something and you have like a couple of paragraphs, right, that you want to like say about whatever it is that you're saying, you write those paragraphs. And at some point, then all of a sudden, you just get a title field, and then it becomes a blog post that becomes part of your website if you're paying micro.blog for hosting. And then you work through it, and you know, you can type whatever you want to type and have a longer form post. And then if other people are following your microblog, then they, in their timeline, they just see the link to it. Mm-hmm. And they go off and click the link and read the thing you had to say, and then they can reply to you using micro.blog. I thought that was great. That's a really interesting perspective I hadn't really thought of before, et cetera, et cetera. And so as that goes, I really like the flexibility, and I know it feels weird at first. I mean, I use all kinds of web services and try out all kinds of new things all the time, and I haven't, and at first it was a little odd to me, but I just kind of jumped in and like looked around and found some people that I knew and looked at their timelines and saw who they were having conversations with and followed some of those people too. And it came out to be great. So I totally recommend it. You should jump in and try it out and see what you think of it, because it's another way that, you know, especially if you can, you know, the reason everybody's on Facebook is because everybody's on Facebook. And so really, like, that's the thing that's going to cause people to finally move to something else, is when you get when you have enough people that you tend to like to talk to who are also on some other platform. And so I'm trying to continue to recruit people to micro.blog because your data is your own. And the business model at Microblog is not to just get, you know, paid per click for people who are posting terrible things. It's not like, it's not any of the stuff that makes money for Twitter or makes money for Facebook or any of those sorts of things. There's not ads. There's none of that stuff. So and like, the most important thing to me is that your data is your own. So it's up to you. If you want to have your, if you have your own web hosting and you want to set that up and you want to be able to hook to micro.blog, do it. And if you want to let them do the hosting at any point, you can go, I want all my stuff out of micro.blog, and you can export it all in a human readable format and move on with your life, and then you're done. But your data belongs to you, and there's nothing between you and it, which is part of what I think makes it really great. And I really hope that more stuff tends to make this kind of comeback, because we need it. Because there needs to be viable alternatives to stuff like Facebook. Well, not even stuff like Facebook. There just needs to be a viable alternative to Facebook. Like, you know, part of Twitter is a dumpster fire, and, you know, it doesn't seem like there's anything anybody's really going to ever be able to do about that. But Twitter isn't generally acting against anybody's best interest. They are sort of not acting at all, which is bad for people, but they're not usually actively doing something that's bad for people like Facebook is, and Facebook continues to do it. So that would be my pitch for micro.blog. And
it's a heartfelt and sincere pitch. It is. I have subscribed. I need to spend more time over there.
Yes.
But I have my presence, and I look forward to getting a little deeper into it, and perhaps pulling back a smidge from some of the other venues where I find myself from time to time. My recommendation for the week, I think, is probably going to be going ahead and buying your Avengers Endgame tickets now. because I haven't done it yet, and next I'm now concerned week. It might take several weeks for me to be able to see it. I haven't seen Captain Marvel yet, which I'm going to try to resolve to straighten out
Mike, that
this weekend. I know.
I thought we were friends.
We are friends. I've been busy. I've had things to do. And also, both my children have seen it independently of me. So now it's like finding a time when Heidi and I can go see it, which is not so easy.
Yes, you need to go.
Mrs. Mike. She wants to see it. It's not a question of it's not a question of desire, attention, or intention.
Yes.
It is a question of, can logistics. We find a mutually acceptable time?
Right.
So we're going to try for that.
Because we're basically coming up on Heidi's Super Bowl, right? Like,
well, no. I mean, Passover isn't really Heidi's Super Bowl. Heidi's Super Bowl is the high holidays in September. This is actually, I mean, it's busy, but it's not that crazy busy.
Okay.
October.
Okay, because we call them C&E Catholics, and that's Christmas and Easter, like the people that only go to church twice a year. I don't know if you guys have that or not. So,
yes, but Passover is not very much a synagogue-centered holiday. It's very much more home focused. So people, in fact, we're not even normally there are services at the temple on Friday night that she is responsible for leading. But that is not happening this Friday because no one will come because everybody's going to be...
Because they're all hanging at home.
They're all doing their thing. So it's atypical, but that is what we're doing. But yes, so folks, if you're wondering whatever became of me, you'll hear me on the air in Cincinnati, Cincinnati WKRP. If you're wondering where you can find us, you can find me, Mike T. Rose, at micro.blog, on the Twitters. You can find the show at the _aftershow and aftershow podcast.
Mike's out of words, everybody.
I read the new first day with the new mouth. aftershowpodcast.com. We may be switching hosting in the spring time frame. So if we have to change our feed or anything like that, we'll let everybody know. Kelly, where can the folks find you?
And just back it, does the hosting no longer spark joy? Is that what's happening?
That's basically that, like the like all those electronics I threw out, they no longer spark joy.
They no longer spark joy. Well, if they're sparking at all, you really should have gotten rid of them. That's really a good
they,
idea.
They spark anything other than joy, they yes, need to leave.
Then they probably ought to go.
The magic smoke is escaping.
Oh no. You can find me on Twitter. You should find me on micro.blog as Verso. You can also find me on weekday mornings hosting the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast. And occasionally, as I mentioned before, you can find me once in a while over at the Incomparable Network, sometimes on the main show, sometimes on some of the other shows talking about things. I have, as a source familiar with the matter, I can tell you that I will most likely be on the Flashcast for the second episode of Game of Thrones. So on Easter night, which is not a thing I ever thought about until I said it right there.
Oh, until holy night. The White Walkers approach us. Oh, crap. We're all gonna die.
It is the night where people all end up dead.
Actually, Holy Night is about Christmas, not Easter.
So I know. I don't. Yeah, I just was going with you on that. Like, I knew where you were headed.
I appreciate that.
So I will likely be on the Incomparable Flashcast for the second episode of Game of Thrones. We're going to record that on Sunday, which happens to be Easter, or the ham, the Festival of Ham, as I tend to call it.
for all of our listeners, all 12 of them who are celebrating some sort of holiday. First of all, this past weekend was Bengali and Nepali New Year.
Yes.
So happy New Year to everybody. I learned how to say it and then I forgot how to pronounce it, so I'm sorry. But happy New Year. And then coming up this Friday, Chag Sameach, happy Passover, happy Easter, and we wish everybody the best of celebrations. We will be back in 2 weeks, and we'll see you then.